Today is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the 12th of December in the year of the Lord, 2020. A few days ago, Pope Francis declared that we will dedicate this year to Saint Joseph. I am going to read for you a story. It is titled, Christmas Tonight. In this story, I try to catch a glimpse of the mystery Saint John Paul II examined in the document Redem Toris Custos, Guardian of the Redeemer. That document was published on August 15, 1985. It declares the Church's teaching on the marriage of Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, how they came to be husband and wife, and it also describes how Saint Joseph became a father to Jesus because of that marriage. The story I am about to read speaks of the night when Jesus was born. It contains a lengthy flashback where the Virgin Mary recalls the events that led to her marriage with Saint Joseph and their journey to Bethlehem. Christmas Tonight. An opening in the face of a cliff offers shelter for the night. Joseph turns to Mary. The sun is setting, so there isn't much choice. After a nod from his wife, he walks in to look around. He finds an ox in a stall feeding on some hay. He returns with a touch of excitement to tell his wife the good news. Mary walks in and sits down while Joseph ties the donkey's halter to the stall. Her face is glowing from the evening breeze. Joseph asks her how she feels. She smiles. She takes some food from the leather riding sack where she keeps all the provisions for their journey. She is seated on a ledge in the rock wall at the back of the cave. Joseph goes out to collect wood for fire. From where she sits, she can see the enormous sky that spreads out before the entrance to the stable. A few houses on the outskirts of Bethlehem are visible in the distance. She raises her hand to feel the child in her womb. She closes her eyes for a moment and leans back against the wall. The room is wide, but the roof is low to hold the heat of the animals against the chill of the night. Joseph returns. Mary is setting out bread and cheese. She offers the wineskin to Joseph, but she knows that he will not take it until she drinks from it first. Far away in the palaces of kings and in the city streets, the world goes its way. In the town where David was born, Joseph is a stranger. There is no room for him among his own family. No one knows who he is. Looking out from the entrance of the cave to the valley below, he laughs. Rejoice, the Lord is with us. Mary used those words earlier that afternoon when she saw that he was worried. The night holds many surprises. Soon the sky will shine with the splendor of the heavenly host. All God's angels will come to greet their king in a choir of 1,000 voices, singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. For the moment, Joseph sees nothing unusual except a dazzling star rising in the east. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness grasps it not. He comes unto his own, and his own receive him not. No one takes notice of the woman and the young man who sits at her side in this hidden corner of the wilderness. There was no room in Bethlehem, at least not for them, not even at the inn. So they have wandered up into the hills. Mary is beautiful, but no one pays attention. Only Joseph sees the Virgin's joy as she speaks with him of the child she carries in her womb. Many people in Nazareth were struck by Joseph's love for Mary. There were even a few who noticed the way she was elated by his affection. Still, Mary's mother was taken aback one day when the girl spoke of Joseph as her friend. Though she couldn't say why, it didn't seem like the kind of thing her daughter would say. And the way Mary said it made it sound like she was revealing a secret. Friend. Friend. That is what he is, a friend. Whenever she wants, she can interrupt him. She can show him the linens she has prepared. She can tell him all she wants to say, and he listens. She can talk to him about the new life within her and how much she loves her child, how she longs for the day she will bring him into the world and into her arms. The journey from Bethlehem that afternoon through the fields surrounding the town and out into the barren foothills was especially tiring for the young mother. Somehow, it didn't seem to take that long. They talked a lot, and they were always stopping to rest. Besides, Joseph's way of seeing things made her wonder. She liked listening to him. They talked mostly about the child and what they were going to do. Jesus, he would usually say. Though she remembers vividly, even now, tonight, the first time Jesus called him our son. Something inside invites her to savor the phrase in her feeling of joy. She cannot explain it to herself, much less to him. She hasn't mentioned it to him, but Joseph knows. Looking around her, at the walls of the cave, Mary thinks about the day he came to take her to his own home. At the time, she didn't know quite what to expect for a wedding celebration. There was more to their marriage than others would ever understand. The whole village overflowed with merrymaking, and she was greatly excited by it all. Her happiness that day was far greater than her friends suspected. It changed her life. She left her mother and father to be with him. By then, Joseph knew everything, more than she had told him herself. She could tell in his eyes. Nothing she said made him fold his arms and look away into the distance the way he used to. Life together with Joseph gave new meaning to her daily routine. She couldn't put it into words. It was just him, the peaceful ways of a man whose every deed assured her, I am here for you. Whenever she was saddened by how far the world had strayed from God, Joseph was a lamp burning in the darkness, keeping vigil for her. Back in Nazareth, they used to talk every evening after dinner. It was a small house. Though the flame of the lantern gave meager light, it was more than enough. Now the shadows dancing on the walls of the stable evoke memories of all those times when Joseph opened his heart to her. And yet, tonight, Nazareth seems far away. Even the trip earlier that afternoon feels like something long ago. As she sits on the ledge, Joseph walks towards her, holding the lantern in his hand. He hangs it nearby. She watches the flame glow on the wick and she trims it to spare the oil. Joseph goes to the other side of the stable and puts things together so she will have a place to sleep. Kneeling on the floor, he takes several blankets and skins, arranging them over some straw. Do you think the child will be born tonight? Mary asks. She presses her lips lightly between her teeth as if trying to keep from smiling, although she knows Joseph cannot see her face. He stops, motionless, as Mary looks on. In the still and silence of the stable, she wonders why Joseph doesn't answer. Looking at her husband, the memory of another trip flashes through her mind and heart. It was the time, only a few months ago, when she traveled up into the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin. Joseph went with her. On the way, they spoke of the child that would be born to Zachary and Elizabeth. When people first heard the news, they couldn't believe it. Even Joseph didn't know quite what to say when Mary told him about it. Elizabeth was well on in years. There seemed to be no doubt in anyone's mind. This rivaled the days when Sarah had conceived Isaac, the heir of Abraham's promise. The child would be the son of a priest. The mother was also a descendant of Aaron. Being holy people, the parents scrupulously observed all the commandments and observances of the Lord. The child seemed destined to be the Messiah. Had the Savior finally come? Would he now appear? Or was this child to be like Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets? Pondering these questions, Joseph felt something like a fire kindled in his heart. Then, at one point in the conversation, Mary said, "A child will be born, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." Joseph stood transfixed before her. She was aware of how extraordinary her words sounded. After a long pause, she continued with a subdued voice, as if speaking to herself, "The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Joseph had the impression that Mary was repeating some phrase from the scriptures. His heart was pounding. Her words resonated within him. He was much too absorbed, much too enraptured, to notice the way his wife stared at him, observing his reaction. That moment on the road to Zachary's house was emblazoned in Mary's memory like a face in a portrait. On arriving, Mary was deeply moved when Elizabeth greeted her. "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The old woman radiated divine enthusiasm. Her joy, and even more so her greeting, left Mary speechless, especially the final phrase, "Mother of my Lord." Mary had not thought of sharing the secret with anyone. She had not even formulated that idea in her own mind. But the instant she heard it, "Mother of my Lord," she knew it was true. Perhaps she would never have dared say it herself. She felt delightfully overwhelmed by the reality of it, realizing that the Spirit intended to tell the whole world as plainly as the words just spoken by Elizabeth, "You are the Mother of God." A moment of grace, a moment of ecstasy. It was all Mary could do to contain her joy. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Savior, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." After a few days at Zachary's house, Joseph went back to Nazareth. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. When she returned to Nazareth, she went to her own house. Then days of waiting came. It was obvious to all that she was going to have a baby. She expected some word from Joseph, but he neither came to see her nor sent a message. At first, it didn't occur to her that he was pressed to make a decision he was hoping to avoid or at least postpone. She passed by his workshop as usual every day, going down to the well for water, but he never even glanced in her direction. She had changed, and so had he. Before long, she came to suspect what her husband was planning to do. She remained peaceful, though hardly knowing why, but her joy had become his sadness. She was anxious for him. Never before had she been troubled by sorrow or distress. There were hidden places in her soul that she had never known. And during those few days of waiting, the silence of this man stirred the very depths of all that made her a woman. Everyone knew that Mary was pregnant. Joseph's friends dropped by to congratulate him. They had no clue of the turmoil inside. One simple fact confronted him. It was a secret between him and his wife, and yet a secret he dared not mention in her presence. He was sure that she was still a virgin. He did not know how that was possible, and he knew without having to ask her that she could not explain it to him. He felt like the man who had invited everyone to a banquet, only to find himself locked out of his own house. There were no words to describe what had happened to Mary after the angel left. Mary thought Joseph needed to know. She wanted him to know. And yet, she felt in her heart that any attempt to make him understand would end up in a muddle. Someone had come, and he stayed with her, in her, in a way she could not describe. She could give no name to identify this person. He was not an angel. He was pure spirit from above, a fire of love, an ocean of peace, a cry of joy, a breath of gentleness. He had lifted her above all that is earthly, and in his shadow she had conceived. How could she explain this spirit of light who had given her hidden treasures no man had ever known? The only sign of that gift was the child in her womb. Then, one night, Joseph came to see her. He told her about a vision of an angel in a dream. He told her that God wanted them to stay together, to be husband and wife. He repeated the words of the angel as she stared in amazement. "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to you Mary, your wife, for the child begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son." When two people know each other, and everything about each other, even the most unspeakable secrets of each other's hearts, they say everything with a single glance. As Joseph looked at Mary, no one could fathom all that this one glance said, now that they knew God had joined them together. It exceeded anything Joseph thought possible. It was all much too good to be true, but it was true. God had come to save his people. The Messiah had become a baby in her womb. She was a virgin. And now God had sent an angel to tell him not to be afraid of his love for Mary. Words can only say so much. Mary was drinking in more than words as she listened to her husband. It was an answer to a prayer. It was evident to her that he was as grateful to God as she was. But to be honest, she had not expected this, Joseph suddenly appearing, Joseph beaming with emotion. Eventually, she was able to wipe away her tears and look at him. She calmed herself and whispered, as much in humor as in earnest, "Joseph, don't be afraid. To make me your wife, I promise not to cause too much trouble." He laughed quietly, and he smiled too. Then, knitting his brows for a moment as if hesitating, he said, "The angel told me to give the baby the name Jesus." Mary stared at him with the tears still wet on her cheeks. She was startled and visibly shaken. She felt the same way she had felt when she first saw the angel appear to her and tell her, "You shall call his name Jesus." She had told the name to no one, not even Elizabeth. She was the only one in the entire world who knew it. The name was a mystery, and on Joseph's lips, it reached into the depths of her womb where she felt the child stir within her. From that moment on, she never hesitated to think of Joseph as a father, really and truly a father. It made her feel more of a mother, the mother of this Jesus who was still unknown to her. Oh, how she longed for the day. She would see him and feed him and hold him in her arms. She spent many days after that night repeating the name over and over again. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, my son, my little Jesus." Tonight in the stable, where Jesus is about to be born, Mary remembers all this vividly, especially the way she saw Joseph kneeling in front of her that night when he told her about the angel's message. These are the memories she often ponders. A few years ago, she would never have guessed that things would turn out this way, not in the least. But tonight, in the stable, Joseph is kneeling before her once more, and Jesus will soon be born. Still resting against the rock wall, Mary smiles and the flash of memories fades as her husband turns to look into her eyes. "Do you think the child will be born tonight?" Mary asks again. Her question is left hanging for a moment, and she waits for an answer as she stares at the ground in front of her. "Mary," Joseph says. But he stops short and just looks at her. Often, he would say her name like that and nothing more, just smile. And oh, could he smile. Tonight, it seems like the smile of the angel who came to see her in Nazareth. The light of the lantern catches Joseph's eyes and shines clear and bright within the darkness of the cave. And it seems to her, as she meets his gaze, that he is always looked as fair and as pure as that angel. Joseph is a man, but unlike other men. She feels that her Jesus will have to be like Joseph. "So, when do you think the baby will come?" she asks. Unconsciously, she watches the breath from his mouth and her own become mist in the cool night air. "When he wants." Mary laughs. Still watching him kneeling there on the ground, it dawns on her just how much they are like each other. He understands her every thought, anticipates her every need, never thinking of himself, absorbed in her world. Mary knows Joseph is teasing her, but thinks, after all, that Joseph is right. She leans forward and asks him if he will take the manger, clean it, and put some straw in it. It is obvious in his gaze that he understands exactly what she has in mind. She remembers how many years ago, as a little girl, she once stood near a bonfire. It was the night of a great feast, watching the flames in the hearth always enchanted her, but she was so fascinated that night by the glowing coals and the burning logs that it was a long time before she stepped back and felt the heat radiating through her little body. Tonight, sitting on the cold stone is hardly the best reminder of either feast or bonfire, but expectation engulfs all these trivial discomforts. A long journey is over. The familiarity of her years in Nazareth has dissolved in the aura of some revelation rapidly approaching. Something entirely new beckons like the early hours on the eve of a great feast. Yes, it is a feast, and Joseph feels like the great bonfire. She has seen, she has experienced, and she sees and experiences more powerfully every day how much energy he has, how much heat and warmth he gives her. A few hours pass. It is very dark now. Joseph stands at the mouth of the cave, in front of the stall where the ox is sleeping. He stares out into the deep expanse of black sky. It envelops him and the whole earth, stretching from one horizon to the other. Now that he is about to see the child hidden in Mary's womb, the purpose of his own life seems at once more puzzling and more evident. On the edges of the sky, stars disappear quietly into the unknown. The moment before birth unlocks a craving to penetrate the mystery of it all. Mystery, the impossible fact, the open secret. It troubled Joseph and tore at his heart when he first discovered that Mary was pregnant. As the time draws near for her to give birth, he wonders, in amazement, that he is here at all. The crescent moon hangs low in the sky, fully visible from inside the stable. Mary can see Joseph as a silhouette against the pale light. She looks at him intently for a while. This is the son of David, she thinks to herself. Jesus is also going to be the son of David. The angel said it. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever. Much will have to happen for her Jesus to become king. Mary gets up and goes to lie in the bed of straw that Joseph has prepared. She knows Joseph wants her to sleep as much as possible after such a long and difficult journey. The child rests beneath her heart. The time for him to be born is very near, perhaps tonight. The child seems to feel what she feels. He too is awake and waiting. She is convinced he must yearn for her as much as she yearns for him. Joseph takes his usual place. He closes his eyes. At length, he seems to breathe more evenly. Mary tries to stay awake, but falls into a deep sleep without noticing the tears that well up in her eyes. As he sits in silence, Joseph sees them and wonders to himself. Peaceful stillness encompasses the world. The night is far spent. The moon is setting behind the mountains. The earth is dark and long from the light of day, laden with the deepest shadows. Joseph knows the words of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He never asked Mary what to prepare for. He knows that nothing will be necessary. Only God could explain in what manner the virgin conceived. Only God knows the manner in which the virgin will bring forth her son. The time for Mary to give to give birth comes Santa Maria Anixa Puebla Regem. From the womb of the Virgin in Bethlehem's stable, in an instant of peace and simplicity, there is light. The baby is a boy. The king has been born. Eternity has entered into time. In the beginning, at the dawn of creation, God took the mother of all the living from the side of Adam. And God brought the woman to Adam so he could see her. But tonight, in the stable, behold, all things are new. Joseph brings the child to Mary as she awakens from her own deep sleep. Every birth is a miracle. The birth of Jesus is more of a miracle than we will ever know. God hides his mysteries from the world as deliberately as he reveals them to his little ones when it pleases him. Mary wraps the child in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of shadows, a light has risen. There are shepherds not far from the stable in the same district. They live in the fields. They are keeping watch over their flock by night. The heavens above them are as familiar as the hills around them. They are used to the muffled bleating of the lambs stirring from time to time in their sleep. The ewes and rams lie quietly in small groups spread out over the dry grass. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. He stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shines around about them. The sheep have huddled together in panic, frozen with fear. The men are terrified too. "Do not be afraid," says the angel. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, a joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The outline of the hills shines faintly in the distance, like a trace of silver on the horizon. The shepherds, sheep, and dogs all stare in dumb amazement. The wilderness is deathly silent. Quick breaths from man and beast hang brightly illuminated in the air. Their eyes reflect the intense light of this glorious creature whose face blazes with unearthly majesty. His greetings invite peace and wonder in a message both simple and strange. An infant lies in a manger. His royal robes are swaddling clothes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All at once, a multitude of angels bursts into sight, each as magnificent as the next, angels beyond counting. They sing, and their song fills the heavens. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, joy to the world, salvation to all who seek the Lord. The shepherds cannot put into words exactly what they have just witnessed. They stare up at the stars until finally they realize the angels have long since disappeared. The hills are as quiet as before. Speaking in great excitement, everyone at the same time, they say to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem, hurry. We have to go and see what has happened. The Lord has revealed it to us. We must go and see it." The shepherds all ran off that night as fast as they could. Even the older ones trotted along, hobbling, laughing, and stumbling through the fields in the darkness. They eventually found the stable and entered boisterously, taking Mary and Joseph completely by surprise in the early hours of the morning. The babe was lying in a manger. It was all just as the angel said it would be. They stayed a long time, and would have stayed longer until finally Joseph called them outside to ask them more about the angel's message. They returned to their flocks, but later that day decided to pass through the neighboring villages, praising God for all they had seen and heard. They talked to many people, repeating the angel's words. As for Mary, she kept all these things in mind, pondering them in her heart.